Amen. The only trans I understand is translated out of here. Amen.
Yeah.
Blows that trumpet, we're out of here. Amen. That'd be all right. Amen. Oh, people identify. They got a crowd now that are perfectly healthy that identify as handicapped. I thought, man, I know a whole crowd like that. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. When you've got folks that are familiar with the Word of God, it's helpful. Amen?
Amen.
And folks that read their Bible. Remember, Brother Estep, just about the year before he passed away, he was preaching. He said, the problem we have in our churches today is people don't spend time in their Bibles. Because they don't spend time in their Bibles, the preacher's got to spend twice the time to get them familiar with what you're trying to tell them. And then you don't have time to tell them what you want to tell them. Amen? And sometimes that's the way that it goes here. In John chapter 4, in verse 3, it says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. The title of the message is, Must Needs Go.
Amen.
Now, you look at this, you say, well, why? You know, he could have went a different route. There are basically three main routes that you could have taken to get where he was going. But he actually took the more difficult route to get there. And, you know, sometimes you go through life, you have a way planned out, and it doesn't always go that way. You ever notice that?
Yes, sir.
And sometimes that way is a little different, and you're like, well, I wonder why I got to go this way. Let me ask you something. Do you believe in divine appointments?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you believe the Lord still has everything under control? Do you believe that if you're saved, the Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not thine own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Do you ever start out going one way and end up a different way, and then when you look back, realize that was the best way? Amen. Well, he's still in charge, right?
Yeah.
And so it pays to do that. Now, it says, in verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So you think about this, it's not that he's just going through Samaria, but he's going to a certain city of Samaria to a specific well in Sychar.
Right.
In other words, he's got a determined destination of where he's going to.
Right.
Now you look down in throughout the passage here, we see that he says Jacob's well was there. Then him being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well. It was about the sixth hour or seven. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know what we're dealing with in a society today? There's a lot of people that have created a huge amount of division between the peoples of America and even people around the world. Racism and all that kind of junk. That's all just a tool of the devil to divide people so that people just avoid and hate other people with no good grounds for it. With no good grounds for it. I mean, listen, if you're saved and people are lost, it don't matter who they are. They need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter who they are. See, Jesus knows this woman has a need. He knows exactly where she's going to be, when she's going to be there. Amen? So he just needs to get there.
Right.
Amen? It said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that say to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. For whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give unto him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now what's interesting is the Lord always deals with the spiritual heart of the person. And that's what he goes to right here. So he says, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Well, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. You know, she ain't giving no details of nothing. Amen. She said, I don't have no husband. But see, that's the way the Lord always works, because the Lord knows the heart.
That's right.
Man knows the outward, God knows the heart. He knows he needs to get down to the heart of the issue. Amen. So he just makes a real simple statement and says, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. And you can think of saying, well, got one over on him. I mean, she didn't really know who he is.
Right.
Amen. And he says, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. I love this verse. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. I'm in a way over my head right here. This guy knows something about me. Now, when you think about it, this woman here was in a bad situation. And she had obviously lived in a bad moral condition. You know, and the brother, and I don't think any of us will forget Thug from now on. Amen. It's just that's but you know, everything he said was exactly the truth. Amen. You know, listen, sometimes if we're not careful, we can see everything that's going on around us and avoid people when we really must needs go to them.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if they got purple hair, green hair. I don't care what race they are, where they've been. God's allowed me, being in the military and the ministry, I've been in about three or four foreign countries, been in a dozen states, and God's allowed me to be around jail ministry, all different kinds of things. And you know what that showed me, especially being in the military 9.5 years, you know what you learn? There's people from all over the place, and everybody's different, but everyone's a soul.
You're right.
Amen? They're all a soul, no matter who they are. People say, oh, you're racist. Listen, I had black roommates. I've had black people stay in my house, try to get them on their feet. Don't throw race cards at me. That's just dumb. Amen? People doing that are looking for a fight. I ain't looking for a fight. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ can take care of things.
Yes,
amen? Jesus Christ can take care of that. Here's this woman. I mean, she's in a bad way. Her situation, in a sense, is hopeless. Think about this. This is a common thing she's going to do. She's going to get water. She doesn't know who's going to be there. You know what? We miss a lot of opportunity in our life by just common occurrences in our life.
You're right.
Common people. You're going to run into people. Run into people at the grocery store. Run into people at the gas station. You run into people. You got people deliver your food, deliver your pizza, all that kind of stuff. We run into all kinds of people. Do you realize it's our responsibility to have an impact in their life for the Lord?
Amen.
Now, you may not be able to sit down and preach to them, but how about a gospel track?
Yeah.
Amen? I'd say, I'm from Dayton, Ohio, so I'm a long way from home, so I'm giving them a track from my church. Probably ain't going to be as good, but I can grab one of the tracks here from White Oak, give them one of those.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be out this week during this time running to somebody. You never know. You might just have a divine appointment. You must needs go. Maybe where you need to get gas is where you must needs go.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That might be something there that would be a benefit to. So this woman here, ultimately, what does she do? She believes on the Lord. And you know what she does? She goes back and she lets everybody else know what's going on. Now, what's interesting, for the sake of time, go down to verse 39. She goes and she tells them, and then they come back and they're going to pay attention to what he said because of what she said. But then as they hear him themselves, verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Well, I don't know about you, but the part he gives us wasn't everything she ever did. But I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to the heart, it covers everything you ever done.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit knows how to work inside.
Amen.
Amen? That's why sometimes people say, well, I don't think I did that good of a job. Did you tell them the truth? If we're not careful in Bible-believing circles, we get the idea that if we don't do it just exactly right, then it's not done well. But if we're a true Bible believer, what is it that does the work? It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that does the work. None of us are worthy vessels. None of us are any good, really. Amen? It's not about our salesmanship. A lot of fundamental circles got down back in the 70s and the 80s. It was all salesmanship. But where was the conviction of the Holy Spirit? You can get somebody to repeat a prayer. Listen, everyone wants to know, you can get a room full of kindergartners and preach on hell and have them raise their hand and trust Jesus. And they have no idea what's going on. Amen? Listen, when you got the work of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you use the law of the Word of God because they're judged by, they're breaking the law. Amen? They're rebelling against God. And you start letting, and you see the counseling. The Holy Spirit works on the inside. Amen? And that's what he did on this lady, man. He rang her bell big time. Amen? And now look what it says, verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. It said he must need go. It looked like he was just going to pass on through. But what did he do? He stayed there 2 more days. It says, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. What an interesting thing that it looks like a small thing. The Lord stops by a well, and here comes one woman just coming to get some water. And what happens? You see, the Lord knew when he left, he said, I must needs go through here. Why? Because there's going to be this woman at the well, and I need to speak to this woman about her soul. And she's going to get so excited, she's going to go back, and she's going to bring more back to him. Is that not how Christianity really grows? Folks get saved, they tell others what they've got, and come back. It's not about plans and programs. I understand organized outreach. I get all that. We do all that. But what about God getting a hold of that person's heart, and then that person telling other people, and then they come back, and then God gets a hold of their heart? Isn't that a blessing? All right, take your Bible and turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. These just are a couple events that I want you to see that God gives us in the Scripture to help us realize how important. And listen, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's a Christian is important in the work of God.
Yes, sir.
Listen, most of us know we go to different places and went on visitation. And I understand going two by two and all that kind of business. But the day and age we're in today, it's a whole lot different knocking doors than it was back in the 70s and 80s. I think everybody will agree with that. Amen. You knock on a door and ask them if they died today. They go, they don't even know where heaven or hell is. They don't know anything about it. Word of God was taken out of schools and now it's out of the homes. Half the Christians only read the Bible in the house. So how does that make them even know what they're talking about?
Right.
Amen. We go back to 70s, 80s, and that reminds me back about Acts chapter 2. Amen. When they preached to the Jews, knew the Word of God and all that. But what happened when Paul was on Mars Hill? You know what? They didn't know anything. You had to go clear back to creation. You know where we're at today? You got to go back to creation and explain they got a creator they're accountable to start so they have an understanding. Amen? And so it's our responsibility as much as we can do that. I tell folks, you go out, we go out on visitation to that. Take the family, husband, wife, kids, go. You knock on a door. Everyone else knows that they'll take a tract from a kid before they'll take it from an adult. But if it sows a seed in the heart, what difference does it make?
Amen.
Everybody's important. Everybody's important. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 35. The Bible said, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, it's interesting how we get all worried about what's going to happen to the Lord. Lord's inside. You don't think that the Lord's got everything under control? Like he was going to drown and them with him?
Yeah.
Right? But we don't think of that. Listen, fear and faith can't exist together. So when fear rises up, faith has to go. But when faith comes in, fear's got to go. Amen? It says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, it's interesting because he said he must needs go over to the other side. Isn't it interesting that he needs to go? He said, let us pass unto the other side. And so he starts the day by teaching him by the Sea of Galilee. And after teaching all day, it's time to go to the other side. Well, the other side of what? The Sea of Galilee. How far? About a 2-hour boat ride. And then we got to go now? Yeah, we got to go now. Now, there's this great storm that shows up. And we look at this. We understand that now it's not easy sailing. Which, you know what it turns out to be? It turns out to be a test of their faith in him. You know, a lot of times we go through storms and we don't understand, why is this storm coming up? Why is this event happening? Listen, sometimes that storm's coming before God's getting really to do something amazing, but he's got to make sure that your faith is in him, not in you. When our faith is in ourselves, then we're going to get all puffed up. Knowledge puffeth up. Amen? And if there's one thing that defeats Bible-believing Christians more than anything, I believe, is pride and being puffed up about how much we know that nobody else knows. Well, I know I got. Yeah, I know you got the Bible. But why don't you live like you got it instead of just cutting after everybody's head that's carrying an NIV? that was never taught right, that don't know right.
Right.
Amen. Nobody ever showed them anything. And they got saved and went to a Christian bookstore and they said, you want the latest, greatest? And who doesn't want the latest, greatest?
Right.
Amen. Oh, this is the one that's most approved of everything. They don't know any better. Say, how many of you ladies, you want the new clothes washer and you push the button, little place for the soap, man, you have to do nothing else? Or do you want to go back to the washboard? No, you want the one that you just got to put the little stuff, throw it in there, hit the button, and it does everything for you.
Right.
And that mentality is what these corruptors have used over the years with people that are ignorant.
That's right.
Amen? Right. But a Bible, I got all this knowledge, and you just want to kill everybody instead of trying to help them see they need Christ, they need direction, they need teaching, they need help.
Right.
And if they love God, they'll want help, and you can help them.
Amen.
Amen. Now, they feared exceedingly, said, what manner of man is this? Well, the manner of man handles Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Man, I'm telling you what, they went through all this storm just to find a man that was full of the devil that nobody could help and nobody could control. Amen. So I tell you, the brother was talking last time out, the folks on this dope and all this business, I'm telling you, there is so much stuff out here. The folks, they get hooked and they get messed up on this stuff, and it possesses them. Creates a monster. Amen. You say, what's, is there hope for them? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's hope for them. Amen. And so now we see this man comes, and when he comes to Jesus, he said, verse 6, he saw Jesus far off and ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Saith unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there is nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legions sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were what? They're afraid. He's a changed man for the better. Now they're more of afraid of him than he was full of the devil. Isn't that how that is? I might even see it, a husband and wife, the husband's lost and the wife's praying, oh, preacher, pray for my husband, pray that he gets saved, pray that he gets saved. And then the man gets saved and he gets in, man, he's Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting, he's in. And after a while, she's all disappointed. You want him saved, just not that saved. Amen. And that's what you find out happens right here. This fellow, man, he got all the way in and now they're afraid of him. You know what? It says, and when they saw that it told them, verse 16, 17, they saw how it befell him that was possessed of the devil and also concerning the swine, they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. You know what? They don't appreciate the Lord interfering and desire him to leave right away. You know what? You see such ingratitude. Listen, do you ever face that when you're trying to help folks? Just ingratitude? That don't stop the Lord, though.
Right.
Amen? That don't stop the Lord. Now, they have great ingratitude, but what's interesting is when in verse 18 it says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home now to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Now, you know what's interesting about that is one changed man that someone went out of their way, amen, tired, tried by a storm. They helped this man. I mean, Jesus taught all day. He's resting and gets interrupted because of the disciples with the storm. You travel all that way, you think about it, they win the one guy, then you know what? They run him out of town and you got to try and go back. But he reached one man. But what did this one man do? This one man went to Decapolis. And you know what he did? He publishes. Now, we think of publishing, is like a gospel tract or paper. But you study your Bible, you'll find publishing is speaking. It's talking. It's preaching. You know what this man did? He went around and proclaimed what Jesus Christ did for him in Decapolis. You say, well, how important is that, preacher? Well, the interesting thing about it is, as he goes, you find out that Jesus himself never preached in Decapolis, but they heard about him there. How did they hear about him there? Because of one maniac man that must needs be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Decapolis was a region southeast of the Sea of Galilee, comprising 10 Greek cities, 9 east of the Jordan and 1 west in Bethshan. Just from touching one man's life. Just by touching one man's life. Now look over to Acts chapter 8. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. And I thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Because He gives us help through the Word of God. And, you know, as I was thinking about when the preacher said last night about, you know, dealing with family and dealing with that whole situation. And talking about that one prostitute that nobody knows their name. You know, the devil, you talk about the devil stealing the identity. Do you realize that's what the devil's doing today through all this trans identity change and all the business? He's changing. He's trying to change everybody from understanding you're either a man or you're a woman that'll stand and give an account before God one day. And they've got them so confused. That's why the battle's for the children. That's why they want to be able to have children get these changes made without their parents knowing. Through the public schools and everything. Listen, once you take God out of the equation, the devil wants to destroy anything that resembles God or God's order. God's order is one man, one woman, that's marriage. Period. Amen? Listen, all that homosexuality, all that business, they cannot reproduce, so they must recruit. That's how they work. And when years ago the preachers talked about if that was ever accepted, that it won't stop there. And it's not stopping there. They're already trying to pass laws now that it's about love relationship. Even with minors. To where as long as this young person, as long as they're in love with that adult, then it's okay. It's not okay. It's wicked as the devil. And Christians and preachers need to not bow down to all the political pressure, but say it's wrong, it's sin. It's an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. And a lot of folks want to tiptoe through the tithers or the tulips or whatever they want to do. But I got news for you. There's coming a time in our country, if Jesus don't come, where that pressure is going to be greater and greater and greater against anybody that stands for the truth of the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean you don't love them to reach them with the gospel. But I try to reach drunks, dopers, prostitutes, all of them with the gospel. But it doesn't mean I approve of what they're doing. And I still say stealing's a sin, amen. Drunkard's a drunkard, amen. You still have to be able to say that. But they still need the gospel. They still need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the sad part is they're reaching these folks while they're younger through all the social media and all the junk. I mean, Disney and all that business. It's ridiculous. And the sad part is these kids come up hearing this junk all the time. They don't have any idea about the truth. We've got to get them the truth. Amen? Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29 says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And let me ask you something. Are we following the Holy Spirit of God? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit of God? I understand we passing out tracts and stuff that we ought to do that. But I also believe that we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, you see that young lady right there? She's the cashier. You better give her a tract today. You know what God knows? God knows what's going on in her heart and what she needs. And He wants us to be obedient to Him. See, that's where the rewards come from in heaven. Obeying God. And when God says, give her that tract. You say, have you always done that? No, I've confessed I've walked away. I've walked away and asked God for mercy, went and got a track, come back. Sometimes out doing lawn work and stuff, I don't have tracks on me. I'll have them in my truck, stop, get gas or something. You go in and do that, and the Lord's like, where's your track? You're like, man. You ever been there? Amen? I'm not preaching down to anybody. I'm just telling you, we've got to be aware. I try to make sure I keep all different kind of tracks in my truck. So I can go back to my truck and go to them and say, hey, listen. You need to read this. This will be a help to you. Read this when you get a break. Read this later. They're not going to stop and do it right now. They're working. Amen? But when the Holy Spirit, and listen, there's nothing like the joy of the Holy Spirit that when you've done that, you've been obedient to God. And you walk back, you're like, oh, Lord, please help her read. Help that guy. Help this. Amen? That's being obedient. I believe there's divine appointments. The Lord doesn't bring people by. People say, well, why would the Lord bring you by and not somebody else? Because if we're not willing to do it, why would God bring us by the path of somebody that needs the truth if we're not even willing to give it to them? People say, I don't get any chance to witness. Do you ever ask? Do you ever say, Lord, would you show me? I'll do it if you show me. And then all of a sudden you start finding people here and there. Somebody asks you a question. I don't have my truck with me, but on the back of my truck, I've got a magnetic sign on it that says the party in hell has been canceled due to fire. And I get people that respond one of two ways, and you know what those are. They're either real happy, they give you a thumbs up, or sometimes a different finger. Amen? It just depends on who they are. But you know, the truth of the matter is, that's opened a lot of opportunities. Most of the time at a gas station, pump of gas, somebody says, hey man, I really like that. It's like, oh really? Where do you go to church? Where are you a Christian? And the thing is, a lot of Christians have it. Sometimes lost people that come to church, oh man, that's pretty interesting there. Hey, where do you go? Oh, I don't go to no church. Bingo. There's an opportunity, there's a conversation, there's at least a gospel track. Amen? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Now you think about it, what are the odds of Philip going toward the south on the way that goeth down on Jerusalem and the Gaza being a great place of soul winning? He goes not having any idea who he'll be coming in contact with, but like Abraham, he has faith in the Lord to guide him which way he needs to go. Verse 31 says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know what it is? It's a simple question with a willingness to help. Let me ask you something. Are we too busy to take time to help somebody? When you say, listen, I'm going to give this, I'll tell you how you know for sure you can go to heaven or die. I don't know anything about that. You got a minute?
Yeah.
Can I take a minute? But you know what's happened? The devil's been so successful in keeping us so preoccupied and so busy and so on the run and run. Got to go here. We don't have time for conversation. You know, when I grew up, if you walked down the street and said, somebody said, hey, sir, how you doing today? I'm doing well. How you doing? Everything all right now? Now you walk past people and they're doing this.
Yeah.
You say,
hi, how you doing? Yeah.
People don't even look up. Right. The other day I walked past a fellow and said, how you doing, sir? You having a good? I'm having a good day. How about you? Yeah. I had a heart attack. Where's somebody talk back? Amen? You used to have interaction before people got all caught up in the devices. You know, those devil's devices we're not ignorant of. Let me ask you, who might the Lord want you to guide?
Amen.
Maybe that person that's not had a bath in 3 weeks. We've got a guy, he's a homeless guy, shows up at our church off and on. And he comes in and he likes to show up when we're having food or something. It's amazing, there's a sense of timing.
Yeah.
Amen. But he came in one day, I told him, I said, you know what, we're going to be a help and be a blessing to you. And I said, you know, we're talking about what we can do to help folks that are in a homeless situation. And I said, maybe if you could write down some pointers for me, some things you think could help us reach other people, that'd be a real blessing. So he gave me a list of what he needed. But one of the things he put on there is he said he really needed a pair of boots. I said, well, you put on here a pair of boots. What size you wear? He said, oh, about 11 or so. Holy Spirit said, you got a set of boots at home. You ain't worn forever, and they're almost brand new. I was like, yep, Lord, you're right. You know how he does that? Doesn't the Lord, he pins it down right for you, exactly.
Yeah.
So I went home, I pulled out them boots, and I told when I left, I said, well, you going to be here tonight? He said, oh, I'll be here tonight. Well, I got church, he wasn't there. I had the boots. I had them in my truck. So I asked my fellow, I said, you seen this fellow Mike? Have you seen him around? He said, no, I haven't seen him. I said, all right. He said, you looking for him? I said, yeah, I'm looking for him. By the end of the service, guess who showed up? And we give him gospel tracts. I don't believe he's saved at all. He knows a few religious things. He'll even tell me he likes the message. But you can tell the Lord's just not there. But I went over to him. I said, hey, Mike, I got something for you. Don't leave yet. And went over and I put one of those boots. And he was just so excited. And he put them things on, was lacing them up. People were trying to talk to him. He was so wrapped up in those boots, he wasn't listening to anybody had to say. But we gave him a gospel tract and told him about the Lord. And I just told him, I said, Mike, you really know you need the Lord. And he said, oh, I know. I love these boots. So you and I pray, I said, Lord, if you'll just every time he puts on them boots, just convict him. Just speak to his heart. Somebody cared about him enough, at least give him some boots. Help him down the road. Amen. Now, you know what's interesting is, as the Lord deals with Philip, what does he do? He leads this man to the Lord. Long story short, verse 39 said, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I want you to think about this. Where did the eunuch go when he left? Where did he go? He was returning to Ethiopia. You ever think about this? He would now have influence with the queen. He would have influence with the queen's family. Other people that he would come in contact with. He was high up in the government, if you will. You see, this is how the gospel spreads. So my question for you this morning is, who must needs hear from you? Who needs a gospel tract? Who needs a personal witness? Who needs invited to church? Who needs to see a person that they would say is like no other man or woman because of their life changed by Jesus Christ? Let me ask you something. Did he change your life? You think he can change somebody else's? Are we willing to be that person that listens and goes? I'll just say this. If you're not saved in here this morning, you need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one that saved these folks, the same one that saved us.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what he'll do? He'll forgive you. He'll save you. You have everlasting life. And you'll get to spend eternity with him one day. But Christian, how about us? Are we taking advantage of the opportunity of the people that God sends our way? Are we just too busy? Whether it's the cashier, no matter who it is. And I want to encourage us here, and I'm preaching to me too, get some of the gospel tracts here. Say white oak on it. Because when I leave here, I want the people here to come to church here. They ain't driving to Ohio, I guarantee you that. Amen? So what can we do by just simply listening and be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that he sent somebody my way. Lord, he sent a neighbor my family's way. And because of that, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I pray that you'd help us right now. Listen, while the music's playing, the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe he brought something to your heart. Maybe there's some times that the Lord brought to your mind and you say, you know, Lord, I could have, but I didn't. How about just saying, Lord, would you forgive me for that? And Lord, help me now in the future to be more mindful of the opportunities you give me. Lord, help me to pay attention to who's around me that I must needs give a tract to. Lord, spoke to your heart. You come. Do business with him this morning.